G'day and welcome to another episode of the Luke's Lowdown podcast. This is the final episode of the Lessons from Lockdown series, and I've got a pretty awesome guest with me today, actually sitting live with her, and we are going to discuss what we have both learnt from lockdown. I have my lovely wife with me, and we are going to have a chat about what we learnt both individually and also collectively as a couple while in lockdown under the same roof together for months at a time. Wife, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Husband?
That's good. So we have just been discussing this podcast and basically doing a bit of prep, so we're not just making it up as we go. And I thought I would start by asking you straight up, like, what was maybe the biggest lesson or a lesson that you learned from a personal perspective during the lockdown period?
I think I have a couple, but one of the main ones, I think, which I'm sure other people can resonate with, is how much we take for granted our freedom of movement and our accessibility to travel, particularly for those of us that are living in countries away from other members of our families. And I definitely know that, you know, being restricted to accessing that traveling has had a massive impact on, I guess, emotionally, like how I am feeling, even on a week to week, if not day to day basis. It emphasizes for me the importance of those relationships, of the people that I go to travel halfway around the world to see. And then even more close to home, just being able to enjoy where we are and being limited as to how we can access that in a safe manner.
Yeah, we made a conscious decision for both of us a couple of years ago now, yeah, about we both wanted to spend more time in Australia, where we're both from. And part of that, well, pretty much all of that decision was because we wanted to spend time with our family. And for a couple of years we were going back, and we pretty much said, let's try and go back every 9 months. And we were doing that for several years. And then all of a sudden, we had a flight booked for Easter and we weren't going. And then we had it changed to Christmas, which we're excited about because neither of us had been back to Australia for Christmas, which is a very fun period of time because it's summer and it's the holidays and all the rest of it. Because my parents were coming over in August, but then they didn't come because of the virus, and we're not going back at Christmas time. So it's definitely something that I think a lot of people have taken for granted, and especially for us, and obviously for you, that now that that's been taken away. How have you personally, like, come to terms or dealt with that?
I think that is an ongoing process. If I'm honest, I mean, I think the crux of it is, for me, it's actually, and it's highlighted definitely by the virus, and, you know, I think it's really brought forward the impermanence that we actually have of life and how much we take living for granted and put off what we think, oh, we'll get round to doing it. So for me, you know, Australia is home to, you know, someone that is extremely important in my life, and, you know, they're in their 97th year on this earth, and, you know, I have to come to terms with the fact that I potentially won't get back into Australia maybe while they're still in this present form. And, you know, I think you always want to take the positive and hope that you're going to get back and hope they're going to keep really good health. But it's also just being mindful that what can I do each day in case that isn't the situation. So thank goodness we still have Skype and Zoom and Teams and the telephone. And yeah, I've just made it a priority that twice a week, every week, jump onto any one of those platforms that my lovely grandfather is very slowly getting used to.
He is.
Even got a new laptop just for the occasion so that he could actually start using Zoom, because his old one was about 15 years old. So yeah, it's just about, you know, day by day acknowledging what I can control in this situation and just being completely grateful for any time that I have had the opportunity to spend with him. And, you know, those conversations now are absolutely valuable. You know, you just can't put a price on having them.
Yeah, and I've always Skyped with my parents and most weeks, but definitely made it a priority to make sure that we have that chat with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you've seen the interaction that I have with my parents. It's like some friends catching up, and my dad and I joke and carry on, and same with my mum, and my dad annoys my mum and everyone laughs, and we have a fun time, and then all four of us chat. It is a fun time. Even if we know that underneath all of this is we're not going to see each other for a long period of time. And actually right now we don't know when we're going to see them again. So it's the same with your pa. And it's about, for me, is enjoying those moments that we have, even though it's digitally rather than in person. But at the same time, you know, imagine if this was, you know, 50 years ago, when you have expensive international phone calls, when you might only be able to do that every couple of weeks or every month, it would be very different. So yeah, I think what you've learned, taking for granted the freedom of movement is something that, as you said, a lot of people can probably relate to, but it's something that you've taken out, which, yeah, like I feel that as well.
Yeah, and I think on, like, the final point with that, as we've sort of touched on my grandpa, is that I've literally had, you know, conversations with my 97-year-old grandfather to literally talk about how I have no idea how, you know, if we look at the Great Wars, and that went on for years, and they had, you know, far greater, you know, problems facing them. And that was, you know, they didn't have the same healthcare setup that we do. They had bombs dropping on them. They were away for years at a time with no communication.
Lack of food.
You know, yeah, exactly. Lack of food, just lack of clean sanitation. You know, and like I actually said to him, like, you know, we haven't at the time, I think it was probably June, we hadn't even been in this for really 6 months, and people are tearing their hair out. And I just said, like, I'm so humbled by the sacrifice that so many families have made during the wars, and they've actually come out the other side even more resilient than what they probably thought they were ever capable of. And here we are in the modern world with every luxury that technology is giving us, and, you know, we're so quick to be you know, fed up and bored and complain, and maybe we just need to take a step back and actually, yeah, acknowledge it sucks, but, you know, we have so many things available to us to make us feel more connected.
So it's a very good point. So it's an extremely good point. I know we've talked about that at different stages of 2020 this year, over dinner and just random conversations that we've had. And yeah, like, it puts things into perspective. And I guess that could lead into one of the things that I learned personally from lockdown, and that was that there's always positives no matter the situation. And for me, it's not that, okay, well, there's been worse times, but if we stop and take a step back from the life that we're in, or the cards that we've been dealt in terms of having a global pandemic. You can appreciate, and I've been able to appreciate and just realize that, yeah, like, it sucks. My work basically stopped, speaking in workshops and things, and some of the ongoing work that I was doing changed a lot from being live to pre-recorded. So I had to do some things to sort that out, and not be able to see friends, not being able to go back to Australia. Life had changed quite a lot. Training obviously altered, challenges and events that I was doing all basically just ceased to exist. But then I was able to just sort of stop and say, well, okay, but what is there left? And if you actually honestly take a look at your life and what's left, so to speak, there's so many positives that I didn't have to travel anywhere to go to clients, to go to talks, to go anywhere. So that meant I was home more, which meant we could spend more time together. And I had more time to do other projects because I didn't have, I didn't have work, and obviously you need to work to survive, but I could do other things like passion projects, hobbies and things like that. And so that was really reinforcing that there are always positives no matter the situation we're in. And that's really stuck with me as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay then. So do you want to then dive into us, what we've learned?
Yeah.
Should we do that now?
Yeah, so we basically have broken this up into what I've personally learned and then what Luke's personally learned, and then we've given a few points as to what we've learned as a couple.
Are you taking over as host now?
No, I just thought I'd have a go. I may as well dip my finger in, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can you start your own podcast?
No. Do not have time anymore. Now the world's opening up again.
All right then, so what did we learn as a couple from lockdown?
I don't know where to start. I think, like, to title it, I think we have, you know, we have created like a great relationship, and I think going into, you know, lockdown really highlighted just the strength of our relationship. And you know, one of the things for me, but for us, was, you know, we both lead to very busy lives, and we actually had time together that was quality time, that we weren't, you know, high-fiving in the corridor as I go onto a shift and you go into the office to do your work, or, you know, out traveling for clients and things. So it was actually probably a really rare opportunity that I don't think many people would ever get a chance to say, you know, in their relationships or in their marriages or whatever, that we got to spend this amazing chunk of time together. And yeah, so for me, that was, you know, I really enjoyed it. I don't know about you.
No, well, we talked about this before, and we had every meal together. And we were, you know, don't get me wrong, like, you had work that you had to do and I had work that I had to do, and we were in different rooms of the house. Sometimes we're in the same room as the house, in the house. But it reinforced that, yeah, like, we have created a great relationship, and lockdown was a great test.
Yeah.
You know, so it was tested. And coming out of it, I wouldn't say that our relationship has become any stronger. I would say it's just reinforced how strong our relationship is.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go through adversity to become stronger. You can just, for me, it's just reinforcing that what we've done previously to get to where we are right now, that we're doing all right.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that we joke about, but, you know, like, I've you know, we have a mutual friend. We have a friend who told me the other week that he's got half a dozen friends who all getting divorced.
Yeah.
And I knew three of them, you know, three out of the six of his friends that were getting a divorce through this lockdown period. So we've realized that we actually like spending time together.
Very helpful in a marriage.
It's very helpful in a marriage, especially when you're in the same house 7 days a week for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And the other thing is we enjoy having conversations with one another.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we definitely learn a lot from one another. We both have similar interests, but then we also have different interests. And I think because of that, we also can sometimes have different opinions about things. And that always makes for some good conversations. But I think, you know, one of the other things that we have realized is it's okay to have different opinions, that, you know, our relationship is made up of myself and Luke as individuals, but then it also comes together as us as a couple.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have sort of maintained our own identities individually, which I think is really important. But then we can come together and have some really cool conversations that, you know, don't end in an argument, but just end in sometimes like, high five, we're going to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've both sort of taken, you know, some new things on board. And that sort of, I think, just develops us as people as well in, you know, communicating with others when you mightn't come to the same conclusion about different things.
Yeah, there's definitely been conversations that we've had that we have built on top of each other's thoughts and opinions. And although we have very similar interests, but our overlapping interests come, like you come at things from a more of a medical background for a lot of stuff. Like our common interest is basically the human body and mind and soul and everything. Like that's one of our common interests, right? And sport and what it can do and sort of stuff. And you come at it from a medical background and perspective, and I come at it from a lot more of a like a sport specific side of it. And we both have similar interests in how powerful the mind is, things like that. And we come at it from our own personal experiences as well. So some conversations, they're like we stack our thoughts, and it's like something that I'll say will spark something in you, and you'll add to that, and it'll become, you know, better and evolve. And those conversations, yeah, they can last a long time. And at the end of it, we're both like, yeah, like that is so cool. But then there's some conversations where it's like, I'm not really sure about that. And you're like, well, it is. And I'm like, well, is it? And and we go back and forth. And you said something that I'm not sure anyone will have really hung on to, was the conversations don't end in an argument. They 99.9% of the time, they don't end abruptly. We've had the odd, very, very odd conversation that's ended abruptly, which normally sparks back up and resolves itself half an hour later. But most of the conversations we have don't end abruptly, and we will go back and forth when then we've realized we just have differing opinions. And as you said, high five, we agree to disagree, move on. And that illustrates to me, and we've discussed this before, that in our relationship, there are three elements, and there are three clear elements. You are your own person, and you won't waver. And I would never want you to waver from who you are. I'm my own person, and anyone that knows me well will know that Luke is Luke. And if Luke doesn't want to do it, if Luke doesn't like it, if Luke doesn't think that I'm talking to myself in the third person, if I don't like it, if I don't want to do it, and if I think that's, I don't agree with it, I'll tell you. But then together, we are another piece of that relationship, that the two of us, I wouldn't say become one, but we are connected in a way. And I think everyone can take that away from any relationship.
Yeah, 100%. So why don't you then share with us something else that you learnt individually?
Sure, host of the Vander's Lowdown podcast.
No worries.
All right, I'm just cautious of time. I don't want to dive too deep, but what have we got? I think this is something that that we both talked about, is that how much others focus on things that are out of their control, and let that affect how they think and act. You know, like I go back to like a card game. Like if you never played cards, you're not a big fan of playing cards, you'll know that you get dealt a hand, you get dealt a card. And that's it. You can't say, like, you can at times, but overall, you can't just say, no, deal me completely new, this is rubbish. Like, if you want to play the game, i.e. life, you've got to play with the cards that you've been dealt. And a lot of people I found during the lockdown, friends, family, just people that you see, even on social media, they were constantly letting things that they couldn't control, whether it was the lockdown or something else that happened through the lockdown, affect how they think and act. And that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. I think, like for me personally, I think one of the things that I've been able to acknowledge through this time is, and it backs off, I guess, from what you've just said, is that, you know, we do find ourselves in situations where, you know, we feel a little bit low or like everything's out of our control, or maybe things are always going against you or whatever the situation is. And I think for me personally, and it's something I've actually acknowledged and been working on before coronavirus was known about, was I will often feel guilty for, you know, feeling any sort of negative emotion. And I think that's something that, you know, it's important to acknowledge if you're in a situation and, you know, it just generally sucks, for want of a better word. And I think I was finding myself constantly thinking, well, there's always people that are worse off. You know, there's always, even with an injury, it's like, oh, well, you know, at least I have a limb to be injured, or, you know, at least...
Gratitude.
Yeah, I just having gratitude for what you do have, because you are aware of what other people don't have. And the other thing that that actually then presented me with is this cognitive dissonance where, because I was constantly suppressing feeling anything that was at all negative, because I was always aware that someone was worse off. Like, there's very odd you would find yourself in a situation where there isn't someone worse off. Literally, even if you're at death's door, someone's already died, right? So you can even go down that horrible route, really. Like, it's that sort of just this roundabout of thoughts, and it is just never ending. But I think because I had this time where I wasn't so distracted by having so many different things going on, from studying and work and training and so much other life stuff, it actually allowed me to sort of sit and reflect and acknowledge that it is really important to feel the emotions that we're feeling for the situations that we're in. And it's equally really important to not constantly be comparing our situations to that of every other person that you don't even know, that may or may not be worse off than you. It's more just about accepting, acknowledging, and working through yourself, like your life, what's happening to you. Because otherwise you end up on this, you know, roundabout of not actually being able to move forward, and also not really being in touch with how you're feeling generally, because you're constantly not allowing yourself to go through that experience. So that's one thing that I think lockdown has given me the opportunity to really highlight, that, you know, it's okay to actually go through life and its ups and downs, and acknowledge that, yeah, at times it's really rough and it's really hard. And, you know, when you actually do that and you don't just dismiss it because someone else is worse off than you, you then realize that, you know, you have these tools around you. Like, you know, thankfully my husband.
That's me.
It is you. I don't have another husband. Yeah, like, you know, your close friends and, you know, the resources that you have around you to allow you to move forward from those harder times, and also to celebrate the good times as well, because that's equally as important.
Yeah, I think it's a vital thing for every person to remember, that it's important to acknowledge how you feel, and so you can understand where you're at with life and how you're feeling in that moment. But then you don't need to allow that what's happening externally to then dictate what you do and how you think. It's okay to understand how you're feeling. I think it's very important to know. And then you can actually consciously choose what you want to do. You know, if it's external situations or outcomes or forces, for lack of a better word, they will make you feel however you feel. But allowing those external forces to then dictate how you think and how you act, I don't think, you know, that's one thing that I saw. Like, so many people did that. Yes, like, a lot of people felt pretty crappy and their mental health struggled and things like this. That's fine. But then it's like, now how do I deal with how I feel, or how do I try and make myself feel better, rather than just saying, well, poor me.
Yeah, and I think that's the really important step, is to, as you said, like, acknowledge how you are feeling, not compare it to anyone else's story. It's your story, but then what are you going to do about it? Or, as my grandpa will say, when you get the miseries, what are you going to do about it? Not just sit there and sulk. So, you know, you can't go out down to Bondi or over to Manly like he does, but, you know, you can, even in the middle of a strict lockdown, you can tap into the resources around you. And as, you know, you've said before, Luke, like, tap into hobbies that you know, the things you haven't done for a while that make you really happy, that you don't make time for. Call those friends that you think, oh, I never have time, but they're apparently your really good friends. Like, just pick up the phone and make the call, because you know that it'll be good for you, and chances are it's potentially going to be good for them as well.
Yeah, it's okay to feel upset, to feel sad, to feel what, it's okay to feel. I think that's the biggest thing. It's okay to feel.
Well, I think it's the human experience, isn't it? I think we're in this really weird world where it's, you know, feeling anything now either comes with a diagnosis or a prescription. And actually, maybe that's just the human experience, but we're just very out of touch with what that means.
Yeah. And then to understand your human, feel your human experience and have that human experience, as you said, but then understand that you're in control of what you do with that human experience. And I think that's really what I've seen, is there are people who are allowing others and outcomes of things to dictate their own human experience. And the thing is we have one, as far as I know, we have one human experience. We have one life. And why would you allow someone else or something else that's affecting your human experience to then dictate where you try and take that human experience? And that's one of the things that I've seen a lot in lockdown, and I talk about a lot. But it's one thing to acknowledge it, but actually trying to practice it.
Yeah, I think if we're going to draw on a great writer in this sort of...
All right, here we go.
In this sort of idea, you look at Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, and it is probably the epitome of what we're now talking about. And this is one of our normal conversations that we're probably going a little bit off track.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I mean, it's all about, you know, whatever situation you're in, it boils down to how you choose to view that situation and how you view to control what you can in that, even when things are literally as bleak as they were for Victor during that time. If you haven't read it, Man's Search for Meaning, it is worth checking out.
It's
It will give you some perspective on life.
and it's not a super long book either, which is one of the great
Short,
things.
sweet, and
Impactful.
impactful.
Yeah, I think we'll leave it there. What do you think? Is there anything else that you want to add while
Do you know,
you're...
we could be here for hours, so we should probably stop.
I know. Well, yeah, is there anything else that you want to leave with the listeners of the Luke Slowdown podcast, or anything else that you want to finish on personally?
Do you know, probably not. I don't know. I don't think so. I think realistically, maybe this is just the pandemic's highlighted, you know, what we've talked about for us, and everyone will have their own story. And this is also not to acknowledge that there's been people in some really horrific situations in lockdown, and you know, I think everyone should maybe practice kindness. Kindness to strangers would probably be my summary punchline, because you never know what's going on in someone else's life. We're all going through lockdown, but we're all experiencing it in our own way.
There you go. Wise words from the wife. See, people think I'm silly. I'm saying I'm smart because I married you. Yeah, I think that's a great place to finish it up there. And I just want to say to everyone that the experiences that we all have are unique, just like my wife just said. But also, what we do with those experiences is up to us. Sometimes we cannot have a say or an effect or even an effect in what happens around us or even to us, but how we react or proceed with what's happened is our choice. And if you choose to try and move forward, to be really simple, then that's going to give you a chance to help you progress. If you choose to stay stationary or take a step back or become a victim and complain about everything and want more than you have, then your life is maybe a little bit unfulfilling. So take the experiences for what they are, feel how they make you feel, but know that you're in control in how you are going to process and use what has happened to you or in front of you. Without going way too deep, I think I'm going to leave that right there. Thanks for coming on the Luke's Lowdown podcast, wife.
No worries.
All right, everyone. Thank you once again for tuning in to the Luke's Lowdown podcast. We have done it. We have finished another series, Lessons from Lockdown. It's been pretty cool. We have chatted to some really cool people, and there's been some insightful information that's been passed down by friends, people who I know from all around the world. And I would love to know your favorite episode, your favorite golden nugget that you've taken out of the podcast series. And drop me a note in the comments, or drop me a wherever you're listening to this. Leave a review wherever you're listening to this. That would be really helpful. Or also just drop me a direct message and let me know your favorite episode and what you learned from it. And share the episode, maybe. That would be cool. I'd like that. Would you like that, wife?
That would be good.
Yeah,
Share it.
share it. Do it.
Vote for this one.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm very grateful for you spending this time with myself and my wife and with me on all the other podcasts. And I want to say I've got gratitude for every single one of you for taking time out to listen to these. And I have one more episode coming. It's not quite a lessons from lockdown, but I'm going to give you a bit of an insight into the two challenges that I did during, well, I guess this weird and wonderful period of time in life that we have calling COVID-19 pandemic. My virtual Everesting challenge where I cycled for over 12 hours on my turbo trainer in my lounge room to the virtual height of Mount Everest, and running 500 miles in the month of August doing the calendar club, running 1 mile for the date of the month. So that's the next episode. That will be the final episode for a period of time, and I'm just going to dive into that. And if you do have any questions, drop me a message, let me know, and that will come out next week. All right, everyone, thank you very much for spending this time with me and my wife, and remember, keep smiling and stay healthy. We'll be right back.